Welcome to the Indianness Podcast. We bring you inspiring stories from leaders with Indian roots across business, healthcare, education, politics, and more. Hear how they broke barriers and are shaping the future one bold step at a time.
Home isn't always a place. Sometimes it's a question. What happens when you leave the country you were born in, but never quite leave it behind? When identity stretches across borders, accents, professions, and generations. These are voices from the Indian diaspora, never looking back and always building forward.
And we don't have as much, yeah, I feel like it's a difficult claim to make to be Indian and American at the same time. There had to be some of us there. So I found a lot of meaning in that to make sure that our community participated in every walk of life. And now, you know, 30 years later, everybody did. So many more Indian Americans in the Air Force now that they're constantly inspiring us. We even have the first Sikhs wearing, you know, all their traditional garb in the military.
Being a woman of color, you know, or mm-hmm. coming from India, oftentimes, unlike in IT, right? I think in IT, the people who came information technology, it was very natural that we will have mm-hmm. Indians, positive prototype, if I may say, right? Mm-hmm. But there was no negative or positive prototype for a Indian woman to be in those boardrooms or leadership meeting. So mm-hmm. it was slightly difficult, you know, to make your mark and make sure.
Before success, there is invisibility. Before belonging, there was the need to be seen. And before any of that, there was simple arrival.
Get a job, you know, try and stay in the country, right? No, it wasn't my vitamin N, Sanjay. At that stage, it's survival. Like, you got to stay in the country. For that, you need a job. You know, you gotta, and like it was in 1990 and 91 was when the recession came with the Bush senior. So there weren't really that many jobs. So it was like, you know, how do I get one of those?
Columbus was a big place, but not that big, and not that many refugees at the time. And the church was an influential part of the local community. So they put a very nice picture in about me. They said that I was a champion Hungarian fencer. And at the time, Hungarian fencing was and still remains to be on top of the world. And that was actually true. And I think the second drawing of God that I saw here is that the fencing coach at The Ohio State University was a Hungarian lady who read this article in the dispatch, tracked me down literally a couple weeks later, knocked on my door, on our door, this little house that the church had rented for us, January 2nd, and said, knocked on the door. I happened to open the door, and she, in her heavy Hungarian accent, said, "Are you Sunil?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She goes, "You come with me to Ohio State now." So she grabbed my hand, and we went to Ohio State, and I got enrolled there. They were on a quarterly system, so in January, I could start the quarter. And indeed, a few weeks later, I went on, became second at Junior Olympics. I won the Big Ten. I became an NCAA All-American, all within a scope of 3 months. So within 3 months of arrival in the U.S., I was in university, and I was a well-recognized student athlete on the Ohio State campus.
Sometimes the door doesn't open slowly. It swings wide open, and life accelerates overnight.
MIT immediately begins that humbling experience of the fact that, hey, you're just average in the context of this particular class, right? And through the process of being at MIT, which I still tell people to this day is my most challenging academic, intellectual experience that I've ever gone through, it was life-changing in so many ways.
There were many talks being held by various researchers from academia and industry. So you're just in that environment that is so inspiring. And you're constantly getting those inputs, seeing the possibilities, how to do proper research, how to write, how to question when you are reading, how to find gaps in the state of the art where you can initiate a new idea or a project.
Learning changes how you feel, think, and move. It removes certainty, and then quietly, it rebuilds you.
This career assumes that you accept that you're working all the time, all the time. This is not a 9-to-5 job, Monday to Friday. I work and we work all the time. Because we work in different time zones and we always have to be ready. Clients like it when you answer an email at midnight, our time, when it might be 6 a.m. in London, mm-hmm. And they're already at the office. Or if it's 9 o'clock in California and they're working late and it's midnight in Atlanta and I've responded to the email.
And Kamla and I travel 6 months a year from New Zealand to Japan, from Indonesia to India. Oh, I lived out of hotels.
But the kids were out by then.
Yeah, while the younger one was at Yale undergrad, the other one was doing engineering at MIT. So in summertime, we wouldn't travel when they were at home, but rest of the time, we were on the road for five years.
Wow.
And we thought that we were just as good, but we are not recognized as well. So that was what drove us to working hard like maniacs, and we did that. But the byproduct of that was I was noticed in the profession. And when MIT called me, and by then Rochester was falling on a little bit bad times. It's a small town. Kodak was fading, and the opportunity to be at MIT, and they said, well, you know, come and build the group.
Hard work doesn't just open doors. It reshapes you when you walk through them.
I loved medicine, but if I had not gone into medicine, my first passion was actually had always been to be a NASA engineer. So it was to work for NASA. Yes, it was to work for NASA. I have a very engineering mind. It's kind of strange, but it was, like I said, you know, people often say you're an engineer or you're medical. But at one point, I was just like, I had to debate, which one do I actually want to pick? Do I want to be a doctor or do I want to be an engineer? I think I ended up gravitating towards medicine.
Part of running a business is that 9 out of 10 times, you're going to be solving puzzles and problems, you know? But if you're comfortable doing it, then that DNA is such that you know that the journey in the end is going to be fine.
Ambition always starts with the self, but meaning often points outward.
I'm a dreamer. I always like to dream and other things. So the movie business was actually because of my foundation. Mm-hmm. I have a foundation called Irada Foundation, and our goal is to create lots of awareness about healthy lifestyle regarding health and prevention better than cure. Mm-hmm. In India, you know, our average lifespan is whatever, 68, 70. In America, we are 80. Europe is 80. So always wanted to kind of have our community, our Indian brothers and sisters living in India, have just basic necessity of healthcare be provided.
The journey doesn't always become smooth. If anything, it gets harder, but strength grows in the struggle.
Challenges are every day, right? Challenges become parcel of it, right? So there is a reason why I have a positive and successful friends, the reason is my back has all the battle bruises and wounds like that got from the failures, right? So I think that is nothing short of challenges.
You need to be presentable. You need to, you know, you look good and all of that. The rawness will only last for so long. You need to start polishing yourself. So you know, there are many, many people who came in different forms. My daughter now, she's taught me patience.
And the two universities, University of Ottawa and Carleton University, and the graduate program was between the two universities. So you had to take courses back and forth. And I saw students skating back and forth between the two universities. It's 5 kilometers apart. So I said, I got to change this outdoor activity business. So I went and enrolled into a skating course, got myself a pair of skates. And the first day, go to the lesson. I mean, it's just taught by a graduate student. And I go to this lesson, and I'm literally horizontal. I'm just not able to hold myself. And so the teacher, the graduate student, comes up and says, "What is your goal in this course?" I said, "More vertical than horizontal would be better," I said.
Over time, labels stop fitting, careers blur, identities expand, and the journey becomes less about the arrival and more about the openness.
I'm now the director, you know, the deputy director of health communications, and helping him to frame up a brand new office and upwards of 90 staff. So in the health programs, the journey has really been one of really keeping an open mind and not really being pigeonholed. It's like when I was younger, I'm not pigeonholed as Sanjay is in the Canadian, he's American, he's in India. Sanjay's not a public health education specialist. Sanjay's not a director of web communications and social media. Sanjay's not the director of innovation at Health and Human Services, where we're leading innovation programs. Sanjay's not the CTO. The list goes on. It's been really, you kind of just kind of opened the bell here, Sanjay. It's really been fascinating to keep an open and diverse mind to where life's going to take you, as long as it's aligned with your passions. I think there's some really fascinating things that can come out.
These are not just stories of leaving India behind. They're stories of carrying it forward into new countries, new systems, and new possibilities. This is the Indianness podcast. Stay tuned for more stories, inspiring unfinished endings and uncontained journeys, and celebrating those that are always becoming.